But back to tonight, and at a little after 8:30, it's time for Saturday Night Theatre.
The Hanoverian Handicap by John Wyke, with David March as George III, Avril Clarke as Queen Charlotte, and Roger Hammond as the Prince Regent. The Hanoverian Handicap.
I, George William Frederick, take thee, Charlotte Sophia, to my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward.
I, Charlotte Sophia, take thee, George William Frederick, to my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward.
Your Majesty. May we presume to wish Your Majesty...
You may.
We have panned the bed well, sir.
Good.
May God bless.
Yes, may he indeed. Now, pray, withdraw.
Your Majesty. It makes me laugh.
What does?
When people walk backwards away from me, maybe someone fall over. There will be no one here. In the bedchamber with us?
Oh.
No witnesses? I have heard...
Witnesses? Oh, no.
I am grateful. I shall undress behind the screen. I always do that in Strelitz. You do not mind, Nick?
Oh, no. I understand. I really do. My friend Lord Bute, he's like a father to me. He said I was to cherish you. She's only 17, he said. You must be understanding, gentle. I should like to call you Lottie. You have no objection?
No. My father, he called me Lottie. There.
Oh.
You like my nightgown? It is pretty, Nick.
It is very pretty, Lottie.
George.
Yes?
George, have you bundled? You say bundled? Many women.
Bundled? We say pleasured, but there are other words.
So? These other words? What are they?
Oh, tumbled, rummaged.
I prefer bundled. Well, have you?
It is the custom for young men to bundle. It is the same in Hannover, is it not?
Yeah, but not for the girls. We are all virgins. The ones who are not married, that is.
Strictly speaking, Lottie, to bundle is to get into bed with one's clothes on. To get warm, you see. We do not need to consider such a course, do we?
Should I be frightened? I know nothing of these matters.
Of me? Frightened? Oh, no, Lottie. You see, Lord Bute has often told me that I am sensitive, a feeling man.
Do you like me, George?
Oh.
They say my face is too small and my mouth is too big. You do not mind?
Lottie. Put your head here. They say my eyes are too big. And they bulge a little.
They are very blue, your eyes.
I find your mouth very inviting. And I like you very much.
I was afraid. But now I am not. I think we have lots of children, you and I.
Bundled. Yes, we bundled.
all that was a long time ago in 1761. And for the next 20 years, I rarely saw my Lottie flat. Always she bulged. 15 children we had. 15. 9 boys and 6 girls. 2 of the boys were sickly and died in infancy, but the others, they all grew up. Ah, the girls were a joy to me, and a great comfort to their mother, and still are. Oh, but the boys, oh, how they racked us. Especially George, my eldest, the Prince of Wales. And now they call him the Regent. The Regent! I tell you, my eldest son is a liar, a cheat, a spendthrift, a womanizer, and a blackguard!
George! George! You are shouting again. Please, Liebling, sit down. Now, breathe in deeply, like the physician said.
Lottie is right. I must be quiet, or the physicians will come and restrain me. I have a malady, you see. I do not wish to reflect upon it, but in 1788, I was struck with a most violent agitation and such pains. Oh, but physicians, they know nothing. They said the cause of it was a surfeit of water I had taken at Cheltenham. But I know better. It was the behaviour of my sons. You would have thought that with so many children, a man could be certain of having grandchildren in abundance. And in my situation, this is a matter of great import, for I have a sacred duty to the succession. And what have my sons done to support this? I tell you what, they've gone a-whoring, that's what. Mistresses and bastards, that has been their contribution. The Prince of Wales made some secret and illegal union with a Mrs. Fitzherbert.
If your Royal Highness is ready. A moment, Pass. I would have you all know this. Before God, I love this woman with all my being and my soul, and that is the simple truth. I am honor-bound, however, to remind you that the laws of this land construe this to be an illegal union, for which, by your presence here this day, you stand in peril.
We are here to deal in simple truth before God, before whom I do not put myself in peril, nor do these good gentlemen here present. Before man, however, we will remain silent.
Then I, George, Prince of Wales, salute you. I will not forget this generosity.
We are gathered here in the sight of God.
Marriage, my ass! An illegal union, that's what! To a damn papist woman! I have told Mr. Pitt on many occasions I cannot abide Catholics!
George, I must insist you calm yourself.
It is all right, Lottie. You see, I am not agitated. I am laughing. Secret marriage. I soon put an end to that. Within 3 years, he had amassed debts of $500,000, and I had him. Marry the Princess Caroline of Brunswick, I said. But from his very first meeting with Caroline, things went amiss. Now, I had sent Lord Malmesbury, a most distinguished diplomat, to Brunswick to arrange matters and to escort the future Queen of England to her country. They had an eventful journey, and Malmesbury wrote me a full and detailed report, from which it appears that my niece, though tenacious, possessed a certain... What was Malmesbury's word? Maladroitness. A quality she demonstrated vigorously on her arrival in the royal yacht at Greenwich.
Hedda? Who is it?
Lord Malmesbury, ma'am. We are docked.
You may enter, my lord. I am ready.
This is an historic moment, ma'am. When you step ashore, I will have discharged my duty.
You have been very patient with me, my lord.
Sometimes I think I have done nothing but preach sermons to you.
I am content to take advice from you. I think you understand me. I will not, however, be told what and what not to do by those who do not. That is my nature.
It has been a great honor to escort a future Queen of England to her home. But I must confess, ma'am, I do not know how it will be for you and the prince. You will find him flamboyant and fastidious.
Fastidious? Wie sagt man das?
Wählerisch, perhaps? I can only stress the need for restraint on your part. Feel your way forward. Say little. And above all, take the greatest care with your dress and toilet, princess.
That, ach, yeah, I have been told. I must wash all over every day or the prince, he will not like my smell, ne? Ach, this English court, it is very dull, I think. My father, he was always, Hemmingslaw's. How you say that?
Without inhibition.
Yeah. If a man cannot fart in his own house, he would...
We should go on deck now, ma'am.
Your Royal Highness, it has been a great honor.
Captain, I must thank you and your officers for your kindness and courtesy, which is in the true tradition of the Royal Navy. When I see the king, I shall acquaint him with your conduct.
You are too kind, ma'am.
Well said, ma'am.
Look, Malmesbury, who are those cripples on their land over there?
Cripples, ma'am?
Yeah, over there. I shall wave to them. Look, Malmesbury, have all the people in England only one arm and one leg?
But, ma'am, they are pensioners from the Navy, wounded in the war. I beg of you, consider what offense such comment must attract. Best be silent till you have the way of it. Come, let us go ashore. Everyone waits to see you step on English soil.
Hold fast to the guide rope, ma'am. The tide is high and the angle of the gangplank steep, therefore.
Who is the old man down there with two women? An admiral, I think.
An admiral indeed, ma'am. The flag officer commanding here at Greenwich.
Welcome to England, Your Royal Highness. May I present my daughters, Mary...
Ma'am.
..and Elizabeth.
Ma'am.
The reception party will be here directly, I'm sure.
Look, Malmesbury. Uh-huh. There is the Prince of Wales. Why is he not here to meet me? We have come through a war and crossed that awful channel of yours. Three times I spewed. You say spewed, ne? Into the scuppers. That is what you call them, nicht wahr?
Scuppers, ma'am, of God's command.
Hilda, that woman getting out of the coach.
Lady Jersey, ma'am.
I have heard of her. The Prince of Wales, he bids her, eh, my lord? She's very elegant. But much older than me.
May I present Lady Jersey, ma'am?
Ma'am? Jersey? That is the name of a cow, I think, my lord. I was just saying to Lord Malmesbury, you are very elegant, but you are older than me. You are a grandmother, isn't
Your Royal Highness, the prince will not like that German dress, nor the hat. But never mind, I have made provision. Lord Malmesbury, I suggest we go back on board where Her Royal Highness can change into something more fitting.
A room in my house would be more appropriate, milady. If Her Royal Highness goes back on board, there must be more formalities, don't you know? Pipes, flags, don't you know?
If I pin it, perhaps so.
I do not like it. I will not wear it. It makes me stick out like a serving wench.
But that is the fashion here in England, ma'am.
Then why do you not stick out? No, you cannot. You are flat like a boy, nicht wahr?
Now, the hat. It was specially made at the prince's own request. A fine velvet turban with three superb ostrich feathers turned to represent the prince's fleur-de-lis.
Nein! I will not wear that thing! Put the feathers back on the bird from whence they came and knead the arse!
I will
wear my own German hat. Come, we go!
I must admit, when I read that report of my daughter-in-law's encounter with George's mistress, I laughed. How I laughed! Malmesbury had a fine turn of wit, and he knew well enough I would enjoy it. When George first saw Caroline, she was in a low bow. He bent over to kiss her, and at that precise moment, she rose. Their heads met in a frightful bang. George backed off and grinned like a village idiot, then hot-footed it to Malmesbury.
Harris, I'm not well. Pray, get me a glass of brandy. I will go directly to the Queen.
Oh, dear. And so he did. But she soon sent him about his duties. And they were married before the Archbishop of Canterbury at St. James's Chapel. Drunk as a boatswain's mate he was. And at one moment he reeled away from the altar as if to escape, but I barred his way and heaved him back where he belonged.
If any person knowing of a lawful impediment, speak now or forever hold his peace.
Some years later, Caroline told me that he came drunk to the bridal chamber. And in the morning she found him with his head in the fire grate. A pity the fire wasn't alight. However, he couldn't have spent the whole night there. For 9 months later, to the day, she delivered a daughter. My first legitimate grandchild. There was much celebration after the christening.
Put her here. No, away from the window. Too much light is not good.
May I hold her, Mama?
No, later, Amelia.
Hello, Poopy Lion. I'm your Uncle Freddy.
Oh, Freddy, stop breathing tobacco over her. Hello, Charlotte. I'm your Uncle William. And I know all about little babies. Yes, I do.
So you should. This one is legitimate.
Stop it.
George, she looks like you.
No, I think not.
Here's father.
Aside. Hello. Stand aside. Where is my granddaughter? Oh, I'm very pretty. Very pretty, too. What?
There. You see what you have done with all this... Where's the vet?
I will take her, Your Majesty.
I pray your silence. Amelia, are we all here?
The whole family, Father. Except Ernest, Edward and Adolphus. Oh, and of course Caroline. She is still lying in.
It is all too rare that we are all together. Nearly all, that is. As a family. Hey, Lotte.
Yeah.
The safe delivery of this little girl is an event that will be celebrated the length and breadth of the kingdom. George, my boy, where are you?
I'm here, Father.
Yes. George, you and Caroline have made us very happy. Very happy. What? This baby, this Princess Charlotte, we shall call her Little Lottie.
Yes.
She one day will be Queen of England. Queen Charlotte the First. Queen of an expanding empire. Unless, of course, there be sons. Hey, George, that Caroline of yours is good stock. What? Like your mother.
But she will be queen. If it's grandsons you want, look to my brothers, not to me. I have done my duty.
Oh, George, don't start now.
George, what the devil do you mean, sir?
This marriage was not of my choosing. It was your doing. And I'll have you all know it is not to my taste. It is already in the past.
What? This child cannot secure the succession, not alone. In these times, children die too often. Consider your mother and me. We had six of you and sons of that before we considered our duty done.
And even then, the old ram didn't stop till nine more of us had seen light of day.
What's that you say, William?
Nothing.
Why do you whisper? How many little Fitzwilliams have you now? 10, is it not? We can't look to you for legitimate heirs, only bastards. And if your brother finds his wife unpalatable for his pretty taste, can we expect a son or two from you? I think not. When will you all realize you have a duty to me and the succession? Must I carry this burden alone?
Oh, silence! Why is it when we are all together we always come to this? Rouse, always rouse.
Yes, you might well ask, madam, and I will tell you why. Because none of these blasted sons of ours cares a tinker's curse for the monarchy. Only for themselves. They're whores and they're bastards.
Oh, really, Father?
And if there is any room in their heads for any thought after that, it's for spending money on their houses, their horses and their stomachs. I will tell you one thing. You girls, you will never marry. You will stay in my sight. Virgins! Liam! See what you have got! To the devil, all of you! My God! It's been ever and alive!
There, now, you see. You get an excitement.
Can you wonder I get agitated? Wouldn't any man with such a family? George treated Caroline disgracefully, refused to see her, returned to his mistress, and finally forced her to a separate establishment at Blackheath. Consequently, little Lottie grew up in a divided house. The Queen and my daughters brought her up in what was otherwise a miserable world, torn by family strife and never-ending wars. She gave me much happiness and some hope for the future. And then, in 1811, I received some intelligence concerning the Regency. All my sons were in England, a rare enough event. And they met in secret at Carlton House to wrest from me the last vestige of power as king and father of the nation. They were all there, the fat regent, Frederick, now commander-in-chief of the army, William, commander-in-chief of the navy, Edward, forced into retirement by debts, Ernest, by far the most devious of them all. A barrel of rotten apples. Ernest and William were at each other's throats, as usual.
Ah, William. Full naval uniform, I see. Going sailing?
I am director from the Admiralty, Ernest.
What's afoot? Why are we all summoned?
I don't know, sir. I am not privy to George's intentions.
Of course not. I was forgetting. When you're not commanding our gallant navy, you're just a family man, reveling in domestic bliss with your, how many? 10 bastards? And how, pray, is your dear busy Mrs. Jordan?
Damn you, Ernest. Well enough, sir.
Really? I've heard different.
What do you mean?
I've heard it's your intention to cut and run. Pay her off, eh?
Damn it, I'm forced to it, sir. It's either that or live abroad. I'm up to my neck in debt. As things stand, I have all the expense of marriage, but none of the emoluments. If I marry someone acceptable to the blasted Royal Marriages Act, I can treble me income.
Scrubbing your decks, William.
Oh, you're a devious fellow, Ernest. Out with it.
Has it perhaps occurred to you that you could just get your ass on the throne?
What?
After all, George overindulges and is gouty, and Frederick shows early signs of dropsy. That only leaves a little Charlotte in your way. And if anything happens to her, well, look at you. No belly, and your damn dull naval regime will see you into ripe old age. Yeah. Our sturdy tar could be King William the Fourth.
Freddy.
Edward. Dennis, Augustus. Adolphus. You're all well, I trust.
His Royal Highness, the Prince Regent.
I expect my brothers to afford the regent the courtesy of rise.
Oh, damn it.
As well you might.
Short notice this, George. I had pressing matters at the Admiralty.
Pressing matters, Clarence. You talk of pressing matters. I'll have you know there's only one matter that presses you all at this time, and that is the Regency Bill. Come now, take a glass, what? And then your attention, if you please. Oh, leave us, I say.
Yes, Your Highness.
Now, Father's doctors have convinced the Prime Minister that he will recover. I know he won't. No. I want no contradictory opinions. I know that he won't recover. He will retire from public life forever.
Yeah, George is right. Father might regain his physical strength, but he has lost the will to govern. It is also Mother's wish that never again would he be put under any strain or put an end to her. She suffered too much already.
Now, this Tory government, under Percival's vindictive influence, has seen fit to restrict my powers as regent, as did that fellow Pitt in 88. That was 23 years ago, and I'm now 50, and it's downright humiliating.
Oh, humiliation? There's more at stake than that. Father might live in retirement for another 10 years.
God forbid.
Then what? Will the government of the day hand back all power to whoever succeeds George III? No. Parliament has always seized any opportunity to wrest power from the monarchy.
Precisely, Ernest. And therefore, I have drawn up this letter of protest, which you will all sign. It demands the restoration of full power to the regent, and if we all sign it, they dare not go against it.
No, sign nothing, George.
Consider well how we all stand in this matter. We sink or swim together. But I will sign.
Oh, damn me, and I. Yeah.
Thank you, dear. And I will expect you to pursue the issue with vigor at every opportunity. When the bill is passed, I shall celebrate here at Carlton House. There'll be a reception the like of which no coronation has yet seen. Now, everyone through to the dining room. I've arranged a little luncheon for us. You did that well, Ernest. I am obliged to you.
Obliged? You are indebted to me, George. Are you not?
No, Augusta, I will not allow it.
But, Mama, George has already shown us such consideration. He would want us to be at his celebration.
His what? His ill-timed celebration of his regency. And what of your father? Is he dead and buried? Is this the time to be cavorting about Carlton House, that monument to excessive wickedness? Would you have yourself seen with your brothers and their mistress?
But all our brothers will be there, Mama.
We have never seen them all together, never. And the French royal family, too. It would be such a glittering occasion.
No! I forbid it. I expressly forbid it.
Oh, fiddlesticks, Mama! Are we never to have lives of our own?
Auguste is right. All these years we have lived with you and Father, forbidden to have establishments of our own, forbidden to have husbands, virgins, all of us.
Sophia, how dare you speak to me in such a manner? You are fortunate.
Fortunate, do you hear?
Would that I could have remained a virgin in Stirling.
I shall speak to the regent and ask him for an establishment of my own. He can grant it, and I know he will.
Oh, my God! Is this to me my reward? My husband ill. My sons against me. All toading to that wastrel George, who cannot wait to see his father in the grave. And now, my daughters. I shall be left alone. I can see it coming. Quite alone.
Oh, no. Lottie? Lottie, eh?
What is it now, George?
Lottie, I want... Now, what was it I wanted to ask you? Oh, yes, Lottie. I'm anxious for news of the war. They don't tell me anything, you know.
You must ask Frederick. I know little of such matters. But I have heard that Napoleon has married the Archduchess Marie-Louise von Habsburg.
Oh, then his mind won't be on the war, eh, Lottie? He will be bundling, eh, Lottie? But I would appreciate some intelligence from Lord Cornwallis. Yes, indeed, I would.
Don't fast, George. And you mean Lord Wellington.
Oh, Wellington, that's right. I wonder what happened to Lord Cornwallis. Lottie always thinks I'm fussing. Well, I have a right to fuss. Shut up here at Windsor. No one ever tells me anything. The last I heard Cornwallis, not Cornwallis. What's his name? Wellington. Wellington, that's right. Clever fellow, that. had Napoleon's army bottled up at Toulouse. Oh, for some peace. Peace, peace. Europe is bled white, and the people cry out for peace. Augusta! Augusta!
What is it, Father?
Peace. Why don't we have peace?
Oh, come, Father, come. It's... Let us walk together.
Peace.
Come with me, come.
Peace.
I have dispatches for Lord Wellington.
This way, sir. Lord Wellington, here is a Colonel Ponsonby. He has dispatches for your lordship.
Ponsonby, you're from Bordeaux?
And I have extraordinary news. Napoleon has abdicated.
You don't say so. Upon my honour, hurrah!
Bravo, Augusta. You have your father's gift with music. Don't you think so, Mary?
Yes, Mama. Please, Augusta, play that last movement again.
Oh, please, not. I cannot endure it.
Charlotte, you're inconsiderate.
I have a headache.
If my playing disturbs you so, I suggest you go to your room. You behave just like your mother.
How dare you? I am never considered. It seems I am always to be treated like a child.
Then you behave like an adult. Then you will be treated as an adult.
You all forget that I am the future Queen of England.
Come now, let us not spoil the evening.
No, Charlotte. We do not forget that the inability of your parents to live a normal married life places you in that unenviable position. It is you who must remember that you have a lot to learn about good manners and patience before you can assume that responsibility and honor.
How can you be so cruel? I am much oppressed. Pains in my side, my headaches. I can scarce open my eyes, yet you thorn at me regardless. I cannot breathe.
Mary, look for her. Take her to her room.
Come, Charlotte, lean on me. Come. That's right. Hold on to me.
Augusta. My God, what are we to do? Did you see that? Her eyes. It is a king's melody she has.
Oh, hush now.
Augusta! The king. He must not know this, or his concern for the succession will return, and that will surely kill him. Oh, Augusta! What curse is this upon our family?
Good morning, Mama.
Frederick.
How is Father?
Oh, one never knows. One minute he's rational. The next he is talking to people long dead. Sometimes he sits by the window and makes faces at the passers-by. Yesterday, he walked the length of the iron railings by the gate and rattled a stick along them like a child.
Oh, it must be hard for you, Mama.
There are times when I despair, Frederick. I have to lock my door against him. Sometimes he frightens me.
Oh, let us go to him.
But slowly, Frederick, my back aches today. He is in the library.
Good morning, Father.
You will have to speak up.
Good morning, Father.
What? Father? He had funny legs, you know. Lord Bute told me.
It is I, Frederick, Father.
Frederick? So it is, so it is. How are you, my boy? On what are you engaged? What do you do every day, huh? You haven't been dueling again, have you?
I am Commander-in-Chief of the Army, Father.
The Army? Is there another war?
I fear so, Father. Napoleon has escaped from Elba.
Of course he has. They shut him up. I have been shut up. It is no good.
No one shut you up, George.
Oh, yes, they did, Lottie. They shut me up.
You see, Frederick.
It's no good shutting up a man like that. They should have asked me. Only a final defeat on the field will put an end to him. Frederick, where is Lord Cornwallis?
You mean Wellington, Father.
Oh, Wellington, yes. What happened to Cornwallis, I wonder?
Father, we are at this moment preparing to fight the decisive battle.
Decisive battle? Where?
Near Brussels, Father. A place called Waterloo.
I should have been there at Waterloo instead of one.
What is he shouting about now?
The Battle of Waterloo, Mama.
Sophia, I am much more concerned with Ernest's marriage. How dare he contemplate marrying that woman against my wishes? What is he thinking of? She has had two husbands, and one is scarce cold in his grave. I'll not receive her.
No, Mama.
Shut!
George!
Cut them down!
Be quiet!
Point and withdraw!
The battle is over!
What?
We've won!
What? For where?
Napoleon is imprisoned at St. Helena.
But
sit down! Sit down!
Umschlagfeld! You can't blame Lottie for getting cross with me. I get so confused, you say. One moment they talk about the war, the next about some irresponsible marriage. And what does it matter? Ernest isn't going to contribute to the succession. I don't care if he marries a serving wench. What is important is the marriage of little Lottie, our only hope. Oh, dear, dear child. Oh, Sophia! Sophia!
Coming, Father.
I want to go to the water closet.
What? What does he want?
The water closet.
But what are you waiting for? Ring the bell for his valet.
Oh.
The king's commode. The king's commode.
You enjoy driving, don't you, Papa?
On a fine day like this, I love to drive a phaeton along this coast road. It has special memories for me.
Memories? Happy ones.
Yes, my dear, very happy. You see that bank to the right where it comes down to the beach?
Yes.
I first fell in love there.
Oh. How old were you?
22. Or maybe 23. It was a long time ago. Oh, it was wonderful. You see, Charlotte, I do remember what it's like to fall in love.
Father?
No. I don't stop me. I have something to say on the matter, not about myself. Dear child, your engagement to the Prince of Orange lasted but 2 months, and its termination caused me much anxiety, not to mention the offense it gave to the House of Orange. I know I do not have to remind you that your marriage is of the greatest importance to the nation. You are the future queen. Now, this young man, Prince Leopold, do you love him?
Yes, Father.
Look at me.
I love him, Father, and would marry him.
Then let it be so.
Oh, Father!
My dear daughter. I shall weep a little.
I thought you would be against it. Oh, Father!
All I wanted was to hear those sweet words. I love him. For I would not have you forced into some union of political convenience. Oh, my dearest daughter, you will marry Prince Leopold of Saxe-Coburg, and let no man say you nay. Come on, child. Let us return to Brighton and consider the arrangements. Come on, my beauties!
Oh, look at the sea! Look at the gulls! Oh, Father, what a lovely day it is!
I, Leopold George Christian Frederick, take thee, Charlotte Augusta, to my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forth.
I, Charlotte Augusta, take thee, Leopold George Christian Frederick, to my wedded husband.
See, Charlotte, I am most concerned. Her pregnancy is much advanced.
Mama!
Elizabeth, she is too large.
Too large? What do the physicians say?
Oh, what do physicians know that I do not? 15 times I have carried a child and they know what is what. She is immense. It is not right. It is not right at all. There is George. He must be sent for.
He stays in Suffolk, Mama, with Lady Hartford.
Oh, my God! Trust him to be with his mistress at a time like this. Send word, Elizabeth. I want him here.
Well?
The child, sir.
Come on, man.
It was dead, sir. It never lived. It would have been a boy.
Oh, my God, my grandson. And the princess. I can see in your face some dreadful thing has happened.
The princess. It was all... all too much. She's dead.
Oh, no. Not my little Lottie. No.
Well, Liverpool, what troubles you?
The death of the Princess Charlotte has quite unhinged the regent. The whole royal family are, of course, distraught. The Queen anticipated it, apparently. She believed the poor girl suffered from the King's malady. Baron Stockmar thought the conduct of the doctors deplorable.
And the King?
York, said the old man, fell to his knees, praying aloud for the succession and shouting, all the children die.
Oh, Lord.
Do you realise, Wellington, the monarchy could now be doomed to extinction?
Oh, extinction, how so? Surely there are princes enough.
Consider this, Arthur. The king is 80 and already lost to us. The regent's now childless and estranged from his wife. If he were to die tomorrow, the throne would pass to York, who's also childless and likely to remain so. Now, should he die, Clarence would be king. He's 52 and unmarried. That leaves Kent, who's been living with his French lady these past 27 years, and Sussex, who's married to a Catholic and thus debarred. What are we left with?
Oh, Cambridge is a fine, upstanding fella. And, of course, there's Cumberland.
There would be revolution. Cumberland's the most hated man in England. The only hope is Cambridge. But you will admit, Arthur, the vital question of the succession for which that poor old man at Windsor has fought all his life now stands on a very slender foundation.
Then, my dear Liverpool, these idle princes must be put to work. They must do their duty. Let them get to it, Liverpool. Those who can marry must be told to marry, or no more money. You'll see. That'll produce children quick enough. Ship them to Germany. Ring the wedding bells and have them copulate.
I like that, George.
What? What's that you say?
The music. You still have a fine touch, George.
I cannot hear it very well anymore, Lottie.
Never mind, Father. We can hear it. We can hear it.
Augusta, best take him into the hall where he can wander. I am expecting Lord Liverpool. It is better that they do not meet.
Yes, Father.
Take him out, Augusta. It was a mistake to compliment him. Please, George. Please, George. No, Uncle.
Come with me, Father. Please do not try yourself.
Lord Liverpool, ma'am.
Your Majesty, I heard His Majesty's highly individual singing and hid in the hallway rather than, I trust I do not call it an inconvenient time.
What is a convenient time, my lord? I have quite forgot. If you were not here, I would be counting sheets.
Sheets?
Yeah, sheets. Have you any idea how many sheets we use here at Windsor?
No, ma'am.
Oh, I am sorry, Mama.
Oh, no. If Lord Liverpool has no objections, you may join us. My memory is not what it was. My daughter has become my, reminder.
Your Royal Highness, it was a matter, touching the family, ma'am, and I have no objection, none whatever, ma'am.
Then I will help all I can, my lord.
How is His Majesty?
In body, well enough, my lord. In fact, he is most energetic. But I fear his hearing troubles him.
Your Majesty, there is some concern, some considerable concern for the succession. My colleagues, ma'am, Oh, this is a delicate matter, and one I would be spared occurring as it does so soon after the tragic death of the Princess Charlotte.
I have lived with the problems of the succession since my wedding day, my lord. You can be frank with us.
The Princes Royal enjoy generous allowances from Parliament, ma'am, as indeed they should, but there are many in the Commons, and the Lords, for that matter, who question the right of these allowances without,
Without getting something in return. That is what you mean, is it not?
That is the nub of it, ma'am.
Ah, the nub of it. Yes. Mm. What is wanted is marriages. Legitimate marriages and noisy cradles. Eh, my lord? Yes. Or we Hanoverians might disappear like,
puff of wind, mamma.
Yeah. Puff of wind. Foot.
My government will, of course, convey these requirements to their royal highnesses, but I fear we shall achieve little without your support, ma'am.
Then some of my sons are in for a rude shock, as you say. My mind was dwelling of late on certain princesses who might be persuaded to
sacrifice themselves for my brothers. Mm.
Augusta, we must be practical. Your brothers are no longer young. We cannot afford to make mistakes. Whoever is chosen as their brides must be... Augusta. Aratsfehich. Wie sagt man das?
I think nubile, Mama.
Ah, quite so. Nubile. It is clear that the regent will not father another child, nor will Frederick. William must be married at once, and so must Edward and Adolphus. Between them, they should be able to manage something.
Hooray! At last something is going to happen in this house of gloom. We shall have a race to the altar. Oh. What shall we call it, my lord? The succession stakes or the Hanoverian handicap? Oh. On which of my illustrious brothers would you put your money, my lord?
Or just...
An interesting analogy, your Royal Highness, but I am not a gambling man.
We forget Ernest is the favourite. He is already married. In the saddle, so to speak.
Augusta, I cannot have this constant comparison with horse racing. The Duchess of Cumberland is a dreadful woman, and quite unsuitable both as a daughter-in-law and the mother of a future monarch. Besides, she is 40, is she not?
Nevertheless, ma'am, if the Duke were to sire a child, it would be today the heir presumptive. And I'm bound to say that such a situation will precipitate a constitutional crisis. For I fear the Duke is too unpopular.
Then, my lord, to use my daughter's ill-chosen analogy, his two elder brothers must beat him to the post. Augusta, where is your father?
On the terrace, Mama, with the pigeons.
Can he see them?
I don't know. He says he feels them, Mama. Sometimes they sit on his head.
I do not like that.
Oh, he is coming in now, Mama. See, the pigeons, they follow him.
Daughter, is that you?
Come in, George. You will get cold.
What?
Come in, Father. It's cold with the window open.
Augusta, the letter...
Letter? What letter?
We have just received a letter from Ernest, Papa.
Huh?
Shall I read it?
No good will come of it. I never did, not from him. Just tell me. I don't want to hear his words.
He was a father. The Duchess of Cumberland...
Father? You say was?
He regrets he has to inform you that his first child, a girl...
No more. They all die, you know. All the babies die. We are cursed. I tell you, we are cursed, we Guelphs. Oh!
Take him to the clock room, Augusta. I cannot bear it.
Cursed! That's what... Cursed, Elotte! Cursed, Harlan! Cursed!
One, two, three, four, five. No time, no time. No time, no babies. Babies die. Babies for the tomb. Only for the tomb. And Major Alfred Octavius Lottie, all for the tomb. All for the tomb. All for the tomb.
And you know what they call my son Edward? Kent the Flogger. Do you know what he did in Canada? I'll tell you. He awarded some poor soldier 999 lashes, the maximum permitted, and watched. Killed him, of course. Called it discipline. Discipline. Discipline.
Father, come. What is troubling you? It's Augusta, Father. Augusta.
Why do you shout at me?
I thought you couldn't hear.
Yeah, what I want. Where is Edward?
In Brussels, Father.
What is he doing in Brussels? Some mischief.
He cannot afford to live in England,
with
Father.
With that damn French woman, I'll be bound.
She has been very good to him, they say.
I can't think why.
He is going to be married, Father.
Married? Married? Not to her. I won't permit it. The Royal Marriage Act will not allow it.
Never mind, Father. Calm yourself. He will not marry Madame Saint-Laurent.
What? Not the French lady? Then who?
Mama considers the Princess Mary of Saxe-Coburg, the sister of Prince Leopold.
Leopold?
Yes, Father. Dear Charlotte's widower.
Oh, well, what of Edward's French lady, then? They won't send her to the guillotine, will they? That's where all French ladies go, you know.
Oh, no, Father. That was a long time ago.
Take me away from here, Augusta. I don't like Edward. Flogs people. It's no good, flogging. No good. No good.
Your Royal Highness, sir, it is Madame Saint-Laurent. She has swooned in the library.
The devil she has! Lift her!
Yes, sir.
Gently, you fools! A pillow! Fetch a pillow! Yes, sir. Here, put her on the sofa.
Smelling salts, sir.
Julie. Her colour is returning. There, my dear.
Edouard. Oh, Edouard.
Leave us. You swooned quite away, dear. You worried me.
Oh, Edouard, I've read the newspapers. There is a public clamour. I cannot bear it.
What is it?
They say you must marry.
I...
No, please, Edouard, do not defend your position with me. It must be. Princess Charlotte is dead. So is her child. The regent cannot have another child. Frederick's wife is too old. William, he is... Oh, it must be you.
No, please, Julie, do not distress yourself.
Edouard, my Edouard, don't you see... I have always known how it will be with us.
Julie, 27 years you have given me. How could I live without you now?
Do you think I haven't thought about this moment often? When Charlotte died, I wrote to dear Mrs. Fitzherbert and expressed myself upon the matter at some length.
To Maria?
Oh, yes. You see, Edward, she knows more than anyone the price we... Mistresses must pay for loving.
Oh, my dear.
She, like me, is a Catholic. We have corresponded often.
I did not know.
Of course not, my dearest. But there is a difference. She was ill-used by the regent. But you have always treated me with great kindness and consideration.
I love you, Julie.
Yes, you do. But I came to you all those years ago in Spain willingly and in the full knowledge that one day I would have to let you go. It has been a wonderful life.
But now I must release you to do your duty.
Oh, God! What will you do?
Do? I have always known what I must do. My religion demands I make amends, and from that inescapable fact, I derive some comfort even as I say it. Edward, I shall retire into a convent.
No!
This is no ill-considered decision. That is what I want to do. First, however, I would see you well matched. Tell me, do you know which princess they have in mind for you?
I have a letter from my mother. The Princess Mary of Saxe-Coburg is considered a proper choice.
Prince Leopold's sister. Yes, she has been widowed and she has suffered. Yes, Edward, she would be a proper choice.
Good Lord, Freddy, look at George. He's dressed like some damn Chinese mandarin, eh? What?
Your Highnesses, the Duke of York, the Duke of Clarence.
Freddy, William, welcome.
Some champagne.
Stab me, George. This pavilion of yours doesn't take my breath away.
What a fantastic pair of barges.
What are you keeping them?
Freddy, Freddy, best not ask, eh? Lest they disgorge some comely Chinese delight you'll be expected to cavort with. What, eh?
Me? Well, I'll have you know, I'm past cavorting with him. This extra weight, this stomach.
Best let your belly drop, brother. I'm past caring. Hence this gorgeous gown.
Sure.
Hides all. Now, come, we're to the table, and tonight I have had prepared culinary delights the like of which you may never taste again. And all in such good company. Come, everyone. I would not keep my chefs waiting. Freddy, Freddy, pass the port to William.
Thank you, Freddy.
He has cause for celebration. Hmm? William, now, William, where is the miniature?
The miniature?
Your bride-to-be. The likeness. The lady mother has selected.
Here you are.
To me, don't hog it, Freddy.
I'm consumed with curiosity.
Worthy. A bit plain, wouldn't you say, Freddy?
Strong, George, strong.
Not my choice, George, but all right for a sailor. A few weeks at sea, and she'll improve her pace.
See? Oh, no.
This is no time for William to be at sea. It is to work, William. The cradles call for passengers, and you'll have to hurry. Young Adolphus is already at the nuptials. Edward has seen his French lady into a convent, and Ernest has a 3-year start. Yeah. Though they say he ain't of a paternal frame of mind. My friend, we are about to witness the greatest race in history. The race to sire and heir. What prize for the winner, eh? All debts paid. And a child for the throne. St. Ledger, you must keep the book. The succession
stakes.
Who's
on? Who's favourite? What odds? Do I hear 1,000 guineas on William?
Let's consider the runners, St. Ledger. Freddy, you're a rank outsider.
Yes, I'm not competing. I find it hard enough to walk, let alone run. Besides, I ain't been to the course of it, don't you know? Oh, no. Edward's got the bit between his teeth.
But after the French mayor, he may find the Coburg filly hard.
Adolphus. Hey, what about Adolphus?
No. Too virtuous by heart. He'd lead his runner 12 times round the paddock before mounting. Ernest?
Nay, not him. He's been in the saddle 3 years already.
He'll need watching, though, that one. It's got to be you, William. You have form. 10 bastards. And the great chase of 1814.
It was nothing.
This is what matters. Hold on, I'll give you the reckoning. Let me see.
Six, Mark, you propose to Miss Tilly Long.
A beauty, that she was.
Three, two, Lord Elphinstone's daughter. One to Lady Barclay. Another to the delight. For Miss Wickham.
What did he tell you about Wickham?
You damn near took him on.
She did, you know.
And always two or three to the Princess of Denmark. How's that for form?
You forgot the Tsar's sister.
No, I ain't. That. That one could never be forgotten.
Come,
William, tell us again, Paul, how you pressed your case.
Oh, nay, no.
The Russian ambassador's wife. Come, on your feet, William.
Come on, William.
More port.
Right, well. I'd proposed to the Tsar's sister. A master stroke, I thought, and a dark beauty with it. What an alliance, too. Hey, what? Well, I thought to advance events one night here at Brighton, when the Russian ambassador's wife, the Princess Liefen, was a guest at dinner. She left a trifle early, was halfway into a carriage when I caught up with her. I'd taken a bottle or two aboard. What? A damn coachman tried to stop me.
Oh, shame.
I downed him soon enough, and then I fell into the carriage on top of her. Are you cold, madam? I said, no, Lord knows why. No, she replied. Oh, are you perhaps hot then? I said, yes. I took her hand and thought to tickle her titties. Nothing more, mind you. I'd heard the Russian ladies expected a bit of sport, but she screamed out at me. Thought I was going to ravage her.
That was the end of what might have been the greatest alliance in modern history.
The Tsar had always thought William mad since the naval review of 1814.
William
hoisted his flag on the impregnable...
No, let's have it, William.
No,
you have the floor. More port. Now, William, you're in full cry.
You tell it. In the review of 14, the Tsar, the King of Prussia, no Lord knows who else were on board with it. Oh, the whole court, it seemed. I was piped aboard. My flag was broken on the mainmast, and as I looked up, I saw a sag on the topgallant. Badly furled it was. So I ups me hands and cups the sailors a blast. That sail sags like an old woman's tit, I said. What? Unfurl it, you lazy buggers. I'll have you flogged around the fleet. Well, not that I would, mark you. But there's nothing like a bit of teasing from the Admiral of the Fleet. Hey, what? It does wonders for discipline. Discipline. What
should have seen the Prussian faces. The Tsar thought it was all part of the reception drill.
And did you know what George said? What? Just to cover the confusion, he said, what an excellent officer William is. Didn't you, George?
Archbishop, we'll have them standing here, I think.
Your Royal Highness, I would suggest nearer the window.
No. I want music played throughout the ceremony, but in the background.
George, I think Mama should sit here.
No, Sophia, she prefers the hard back chair.
Oh. Damned lot of fuss. Typical of George.
William, there is no harm in it. We must please Your Mother in this matter.
Of course, Adelaide, of course.
We must all remember this is an important day for Her Majesty.
Yes, Adelaide.
Her Majesty, the Queen.
Good Lord. How frail she looks. Mama, let me take my arm.
I can manage, William. Stop moving about.
Mama! Come, sit here.
No, George. I prefer this chair by the window, in the sun. Augusta?
I have your cushion. There.
A little higher, I think. Good afternoon, Archbishop.
Your Majesty, it will not be a long ceremony.
But an enjoyable one, Your Grace. I have waited many years. It is appropriate that my sons are married here.
Yes.
We can proceed when you are ready.
Well, Prime Minister, you've got them under starter's orders.
Quite so.
If your Royal Highnesses would now...
William! Edward, your places! Oh, here we are. Adelaide, if you would take my right arm. Mary, my left.
Ach, I am nervous, I think.
No need. No need.
We are gathered here together in the sight of God.
Well, I thought it was all very beautiful.
And well managed, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, we would, George. Only you could have given the ceremony that touch of genius. They do not call you the first gentleman of Europe for nothing.
It could have been better, Sophia, if Edward had not been so very, well...
stiff? Oh, do join us, Frederick.
Oh, dear, I must confess, I had a suppressive desire to laugh at it all. Did you see William's face? and Edward. When he knelt, I thought he would split his britches.
Oh,
terrible. He was all so polite.
I wonder what Father would have said had he been here.
What he said when his sister married the Duke of Brunswick. Better an old hat than no hair at all. What?
Where are the newlyweds?
They're having a chat with Mama.
Birds and bees.
Here is Edward. Edward, come and join us. Your health.
Best leave the congratulations till Parliament increases my allowances. Even then, I fear I shall be forced to live in Germany. Damned inconsiderate.
Come, Adelaide, lass uns ein paar Schritte zusammen in den Garten machen.
Ja, ich komme gerne.
I'll tell you something, Sophia. My money is on William.
Oh, what's that? A wager, Frederick? On what, pray?
The first to fill the cradle. What else?
Oh, here comes Mama. I shall not let her hear you, Freddy. She reprimanded me for referring to the Hanoverian handicap.
Frederick? Augusta? I want to sit here on this seat on the bank, where I can see everybody. I want to see everybody.
Here is your cushion, Mama.
Thank you, Freddy. Augusta. Now, leave me. I want to sit here and remember.
Father. Father, did you understand what I said?
Mama.
Yes, Frederick.
Do you think he comprehends?
Oh, yes, Prime Minister. He will be all right. He's so used to tragedy, nothing moves him now.
Es war eine lange Zeit. Es war eine schwere Zeit. Es war eine schöne Zeit. Meine Lotte.
Freddy, what does he say?
He said it was a long time. It was a hard time. It was a beautiful time. My Lotte.
My birds. Who?
It is I. Frederick. They will come back. But I've gone, Father.
You're a good boy, Frederick.
I have good news for you. The best. The best.
What? What is it?
George, King of England. You are a grandfather. A grandfather to a great, big, healthy boy.
A boy? A boy? Boy!
Young Adolphus has presented you with an heir.
Oh.
A legitimate heir.
Oh, Freddy. Oh, Freddy. Do you think they'll call him George?
It is already so, Father. Oh. What other name could your first grandson have?
When the birds come back, I shall tell them all.
Come. I see you. You're on my shoulder. Listen, my friends. Old George is a grandfather. A boy for the throne. Maybe he will not die like the others. Big and healthy, Freddy said. Ha ha. Now,
I wonder what the big fat regent will think about that, eh? Huh? They say his wife, poor silly Caroline, is misbehaving. Well, she can't be blamed. He neglected her. Neglected her. Neglected.
Ecco, va bene.
Idiot! How can I go downstairs looking like this? Oh. This is the worst dress I ever did wear. Where is Signor Begani? Fetch him.
Oh, I like it. I like it, but...
But? Why do you say but? There is something wrong.
Oh, yes? No, Your Highness, I would not say that.
What would you say?
I would say the dress would show you to a better advantage if the drawstring were looser. So, to show the shoulder. That is how Italian girls wear such a dress. No. Maybe just a little more. You see, cara mia, it is most necessary that a dress like this allow a man to explore a little. So, explore without any impediment. Those feminine possessions.
And what do Italian girls do when Italian men make this exploring? Oh. They reach behind you like this. Nicht.
Fetch another dress for her royal highness. This drawstring has broken.
Divorce! I will have divorce, Liverpool! I've read enough of these sordid details.
That, sir, is a grave course. I fear the scandal. I beg you, sir, do not press this issue at this time.
Time? Give me one good reason why I should not proceed in this matter. These papers, this report of the Milan Commission, prove conclusively that the woman Caroline, my father's choice, not mine, has carried on, both in private and in public, indulging in familiarities with persons of low station, behaving in an indecent, disgraceful, licentious, and adulterous manner. Divorce, I say.
Sir, I agree the evidence we have is damning, but my colleagues in the government counsel caution before resorting to litigation. As we see it, there are considerations which, with great respect, I must put before your Royal Highness. We must consider the King's health.
My father is beyond reach, Liverpool.
Consider, sir, his life cannot be far from its end. Quite possibly he'll die before any action against the Princess Caroline could be instigated, in which case we would find ourselves charging the Queen of England with adultery. I shudder to contemplate the reactions of the citizens of this kingdom to such a drastic step.
The mob? I'm the one wronged by these revelations. Not the mob.
Whilst your father lives, the monarchy stands as a pillar to his dedication to duty. That much, despite his grave misfortunes, he has attained. Remote from everyone as he may be, he is loved and respected.
And I am not. Was that what you're trying to say, my lord?
No, sir. It is simply that should the king die and this government put the Queen of England on trial on charges that amount to high treason, this government must be sure that the evidence supporting such charges will stand before the House of Lords and the British public, and that the verdict would not stick in the throat of the mob, who, if given cause, could yet undo your father's work and tear us all from power. I mean, sir, revolution.
A worn-out cry, sir. I care little for the mobs, Liverpool. I would be rid of this whore I'm married to. And would marry again. And provide an heir.
Oh!
I tell you, I do not like this indecent haste on the part of my brothers to replace my daughter.
Are you all right, Your Grace?
Thank you, Dawson. I've dealt with rabble before.
That's well I know it. I wouldn't have been so bold at Cotterbra.
Wellington, you had a rough passage.
Oh, Miss Liverpool. Is it getting so a gentleman has to run the gauntlet from his carriage to his club? What's happened while I've been in France? Damn ruffians.
Come up, I've got a private room.
I had an audience this very morning, Wellington. The Prince Regent is contemplating, nay, he'll bent on divorcing the Princess Caroline for adultery. Some Italian rogue named Bergami.
He definitely is. Mark you, Liverpool, that woman has behaved with complete disregard for her station and responsibilities. She's the laughingstock of Europe.
What are you going to do? Do? It must be stopped. I've told the Regent that my government will not support such action unless his evidence would stand fair and just before the people. And I doubt it will, for his hands are not exactly clean in matters matrimonial. There is, however, a more sinister prospect. The king's now 80 and frail, and if the regent persists in this action, it may not be the Princess of Wales on trial for adultery, but the Queen of England on a charge of high treason.
Good God. You're right. He must be stopped. She must be persuaded to remain abroad, paid to keep away. Mm. Why, Liverpool, does he wish to press this unfortunate issue at this time?
He wants to marry again.
Oh, no. Liverpool. Yes. You mean he, in his condition and time of life, wants to enter for the Hanoverian handicap?
Unbelievable.
No. That'll upset St. Ledger's book. By God, it would. No. This must be stopped. The mobs would side with Caroline, and they would bring all the runners in the Hanoverian handicap to their knees before the post be reached.
There you are. Are you all right?
Yes, Edward. I just wanted some exercise. What is wrong?
Come, Mary. Sit here. I have just received a letter from my brother William. A daughter was born to his wife Adelaide, but she lived only a few hours.
Oh, poor Adelaide. She is not strong.
And the doctors say she may not have another. Mary, this means you carry the future king or queen of England.
I? Oh, Edward, could that be so?
Mary, I have never told you this, but when I was governor in Gibraltar, I... Had my fortune told by some old Spanish woman. An act of the moment, a jest with some friends.
Yes.
She told me that I would father the greatest queen who would ever live.
Edward!
We all laughed. I gave her a gold piece. She took it and stared at me in a manner most strange. I have never forgotten that look.
If it is to be, Edward, then I would have made you very happy. But you must not worry so. I am strong. And this is not my first child.
Come. We will walk back together. Mary, I must confess, now more than ever, I am consumed with anxiety. The facilities here at Amabach are, well, primitive. We are miles from the nearest town. Moreover, I feel most strongly that this child should be born in England. My father was the first of our house to be born in England, and he set great store by it. There is also the question of the legitimacy to be considered.
Legitimacy? How could that be? How could there be any question?
You must believe me, my dear. There are those in my country, indeed even in my family, who would question the legality of the succession if it suited their purpose.
I find it hard.
You must allow me to know the politics of my country, madam. Things foreign are things suspicious in the eyes of Englishmen. And I would put this child of ours on the throne beyond the reach of any challenge, if that is to be his or her destiny.
Then, Edward, I will go willingly to England. At 7 months I am safe enough for the road. When do we depart?
I married you as a duty. Now I grow to love you. It must be done. I'll find a way. I will borrow the money. We will make the journey by the best roads via Frankfurt, Cologne, and thence to Calais to take the shortest sea crossing. We cannot risk prolonged seasickness in your condition. My doctor will travel with us. We will cover 25 miles a day with a rest every 3 days. You and I will ride in the phaeton and I will drive. The springing is less tiring. The rest of the household will follow in 10 coaches with a total of 20 horses. I'll plan it right down to the last horseshoe.
Your Majesty, the Prince Regent.
The Princess Augusta.
Ah, Mr. Pitt, how good of you to come.
It is I, Father, George. George!
How is your father?
God save us.
It is George, Father, and I am Augusta.
George, a waste, so he always was.
We have come to see you, Father.
Of course you have. You wouldn't be here otherwise. What?
Edward is on his way home, Father, from Hanover. His wife is going to have a child.
A child? Edward?
He wanted it to be born in England.
A child in England.
I've sent the royal yacht to Calais for them.
When will this child be born? Oh, Edward.
It will be born a month from now, Father.
He awaits a fair wind at Calais.
He will be careful, Edward. He will keep my grandchild, my heir, away from Napoleon.
Oh, what's the
use? Augusta, when the child is born, bring it to me here. I would touch its head. Just once, Augusta, you promise me. Once, Augusta.
Yes, Father. Yes, Father. I promise.
Mom, I think it best.
Yes, so do I. Now, help me up.
Augusta, sometimes I think he is immortal.
Goodbye, Father!
What?
Damn my brother! Damn him, I say! Is there no gratitude, Wellington?
Your Royal
Highness. In her seventh month, my dear wife has been subjected to an arduous journey in order that the future monarch be born in England. And what am I expected to do?
Well, sir,
Live here at Kensington Palace up to my neck in debt and unable to furnish this place in a manner fitting our situation. It is not good enough.
If I may advise, Your Royal Highness, wait upon events. When the Duchess is nursing the future monarch, the people will respond with favor, and so will Parliament, I am sure. Wait upon events. There have been so many uncertainties in your family, so many tragedies. You and I are soldiers, and we are used to dealing with realities. It is no use appealing to the regent at the moment. He is, I regret to say, seeking the means to divorce his wife.
What?
And if he succeeds, it is his intention to marry again.
Ah!
Now, if he were to choose a nubile wife, the question of the succession would again be in the balance.
Divorce? Marry again? You mean to tell me, Wellington, he is seriously contemplating such a step? Nubile wife?
I doubt there would be any consequences even were another marriage possible. So, again I say, wait upon events.
Don't stand there, man. Untie your tongue.
A daughter, sir.
And well. Out with it.
Fine and healthy, sir.
Gah!
And the Duchess, too.
The old Spanish woman.
Sir?
Nothing. A vision.
There, Mary. You can have your first view of Windsor Castle.
It is much bigger than I thought. Impressive.
It is very old and, frankly, rather damp in parts.
She's... sleeps, my little Victoria. Is she clean, nurse?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I changed her at the last halt.
I doubt the wisdom of this visit. Edward was most reluctant.
Mary, it will be over soon, and I promised him. All his life he has waited to hold his grandchild. He is very gentle. Ah, Colonel Summers. Let us proceed with the minimum of formality. Best not wake the baby.
As you wish, ma'am. His Majesty is in the garden. If you would walk slowly along the north wall, I will see he is prepared.
There he is. His face turned upward towards the sun. He likes to feel it.
Augusta, best not let him hold her, I think.
It will be all right. At the slightest sign of agitation, you can withdraw, and I will stay with him for a while. Dear father. I will approach him first. One has to shout, you see.
Oh.
I will beckon you when he knows who you are. It is Augusta, father. Augusta!
Augusta? My daughter. You've come to see me. The sun is warm.
Yes, Father. And I have brought your granddaughter. Granddaughter!
My granddaughter?
Oh, Augusta. Her name?
Alexandrina Victoria.
What?
We call her Victoria, Father. Victoria!
Sit by me, Augusta. Let me touch her, please.
Mary, give me the child. There, Father. Here she is.
She grips my finger. Look, Augusta. Hello, little Vicky. I am your grandfather. I am the king, you see. And I know all about little babies. Oh, yes, I do. I had George, and then Freddy, then Billy, then Lottie. Yes, then your father, Edward, and Augusta here.
Yes, Father.
Let me see. Then there was Elizabeth and Ernest, Augustus and Adolphus.
Octavius and Alfred.
No. Mary and Sophia, and then Octavius and Alfred. And then my dear little Amelia. She was just like you, Vicky. Augusta, look how she holds my finger. Dear, dear child. You, little Vicky, you hold on tight. You hold on very tight.
That was The Hanoverian Handicap by John Wyck, with David March as George III, Avril Clarke as Queen Charlotte, and Roger Hammond as the Prince Regent. The Duke of York was played by John Warner, the Duke of Clarence by Steve Hodson, the Duke of Cumberland by Michael Hadley, and the Duke of Kent by Colin Fisher. Jean Tran was Princess Caroline, Frances Jeter, Princess Augusta, Elizabeth Proud, Princess Sophia, Anne Rosenfeld, Princess Charlotte, Elaine Claxton, Princess Mary, Tessa Worsley, Princess Adelaide, and Jamie Roberts, Prince Leopold. Richard Durden played the Duke of Wellington, Eric Stovall, Lord Liverpool, Sean Prendergast, Lord Malmesbury, Pauline Letts, Madame Saint Laurent, David Lerner, Signor Bergami, and Alan Thompson, Colonel Summers. The Hanoverian Handicap was directed by David Johnston.